Good morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ. How are we this beautiful day? Is it going to be a nicer weekend now? I haven't even had time to look at the news or the weather or anything else, so I have no idea what's happening in the world, other than that I hear that they're going to get some weather in Louisiana here soon. Okay, so as we gather in Christ, and there's all these things happening, and you know, it's funny, the hurricane down south is probably a great example of this. You know, we all have those things that are coming in our lives that are giving us pause, giving us concern, that are on our minds. And but today we're going to be thinking about something that's far more important, the thing that comes first. We're going to be talking about the God. We're going to be spending time in the presence of the God who is in control of all things. We're going to put our mind and trust and faith in him, and trust that he is going to be the one who can watch over us and get us through all the crazy stuff of life. And so as we turn our minds and our hearts to God this morning, we begin remembering the day that he made us his own in the gift of baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you today, and Lord, we are weak and you are strong. And we know some weeks we feel that more than others. And but Lord, the weeks when we're feeling particularly weak, it reminds us, Lord, that you are particularly strong. You have everything that we need. And Lord, I pray that you would work through your word today, through the work of your Holy Spirit, that you would build us up, strengthen us, Lord, help us as we continue to work, as you continue to work through your word to draw us closer to you, Lord. You are the one. Thank you, Lord, for all this. In your name we pray. Amen. My friends, as we are gathered here in the presence of God, let us confess our sins. The first thing that we need when we come into our God's presence is to be forgiven. So that we can be restored into that baptismal relationship that we enjoyed at first. So please stand as we confess. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking your grace. For the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake, forgive all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God in his mercy has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, we have been forgiven. That is no small thing. Let us return praise to the God who has who makes all things new, including us.
Let the nation Good morning. My name is Kevin Shagg. I'm one of the elders here at St. Mark's. The first reading is from Mark chapter 7, verses 14 to 23. Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them." After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. "Are you so dull?" he asked. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach, and then out of the body." In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on, "What comes out of a person is what defiles them, for it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come: sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from within and defile a person." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Kevin. It is now time for the children's message, and today's children's message is a very special one, as it is our backpack blessing. So kids, if you want to come forward at this time, and whether you have your backpack or not, please come on down.
Hi. Can you sit right down here so I can show you some stuff? That'd be great. Good morning. Look at those backpacks. You guys have your backpacks? I have my backpack. If you want to sit right down there, that'd be great. I can show you some stuff.
I am playing with that.
That's okay. You can have a seat right there, down there on the floor. So how are you guys this morning?
Good.
Good. I have my backpack. I have my name on my backpack. Do you guys like your backpacks? What do you use your backpacks for? To go to... Oh boy, this is going to be a long children's message. Yes, ma'am.
School.
To go to school.
To go hiking.
You can take it hiking too. And when we go to school or when we have school, we learn things. So I was going to check with you this morning and see if you know some stuff. All right? So here's your first thing. You tell me if you know this or not. Here's what I'm going to say. 10 is the biggest number in the whole wide world.
False.
Do you know if that's right?
False. That's false.
Is that right? 10 is the biggest number in the whole world?
No.
Can anybody tell me a bigger number than 10?
Pi.
Pi is actually smaller than 10. Pi is actually smaller than 10. But that's great that you know that. Can you tell me one?
Infinity.
Infinity is a very, very big number. Can anybody tell me another number bigger than 10?
Oh, I know. 1 billion.
Okay, 1 billion. 1 billion is bigger. So you know this isn't right. Here's the next thing. My shirt is purple. Do you know if that's right or not?
True.
Is that true? How do you know that?
Because, look at your shirt, please.
Because look at my shirt. Do you know your colors?
Yes.
Is this purple?
Yes.
All right.
And this is blue.
So this is my friend Maxwell. He's my little friend. Wave, Maxwell. Here's the next thing I want you to tell me. Pigs live in trees.
No, they live in mud.
Yeah, they like mud.
Do pigs live in trees?
No.
How do you know that?
Because you don't always see a pig in a tree.
Because you never see a pig in a tree.
Yeah,
pigs don't live in trees.
Pigs love mud.
You guys are pretty smart. How about this? There are 50 states in the United States.
I do believe that's true.
Who thinks that's true? Yeah, how do you know that?
Because
Who's they? She said, in third grade, they taught us. Who's they? Teachers told you that. All right, I got one more. The square root of 144 plus 3 squared equals 21. How many of you think that's true? How many of you think that's not true? How many of you have no idea? So is there anybody in this room that we might be able to ask if that's true?
Definitely not me.
Sawyer, would you go ask your mom and dad if that's true?
Yes, it is.
It's true. Do you believe them?
Of course, I don't know.
All right, adults in the room, is this true? Yes, this is true. The adults all think it's true, so that's great. So here's what I know so far. You know your numbers, you know your colors, you know your social studies, you know your science, you know how to figure out problems when you're stuck. There's one more thing I want to ask you.
Bible.
Do you know if Jesus loves you?
Yes.
Do you know that?
No.
How do you know that? Sawyer, can you stay right there for me? Thank you. How do you know Jesus loves you? Yes.
Because the Bible tells me
so. Oh boy. The Bible tells me so. Have you guys seen a Bible?
Yes.
This is a great story. You want me to tell you the whole Bible in like 20 seconds?
No.
God made the world. The world got broken. And we couldn't fix it. So God sent Jesus, his son.
And Jesus died on the cross.
To die on the cross. And then he rose again. And he went to heaven where we can go be with him. And then he left the Holy Spirit to live in our hearts, so that we could share that message with other people by the power that the Holy Spirit gives us. That's it. That's the whole book. It's a lot more interesting when you read it all, but that's really the whole thing. Do you know that?
Not a single kid.
Does everybody know that?
No.
No, they don't. So what we're going to give you for your backpack is a little clip that you can put on if you want to, and it says, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so.
This is in Jesus loves me.
And you can hang it on your backpack. I have mine from last year, and I have it from the year before, and I'm gonna hang this one on, and that way, when you're at school or wherever you are, when you see it, when other people see it, they might say, what's all that about? And you know what you can do? You can tell them. You can tell them all about Jesus. Let's pray, and then I'll give you one to put on your backpack. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to be our Savior. Help us to tell everyone that we know about his love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let me get you some backpacks. Backpack. These are so cute. Are they just so cute? Here you go. Here you go.
Thank you so much, Mrs. A. Well, I actually, speaking of the Bible and how much Jesus loves you, wanted to make a special announcement and invite you to something very special. And in September, on the 12th, we're going to be starting a new session of Fall Sunday School. And it is going to be so much fun, and we think that you will love it. It's called God's Wonder Lab. But I also wanted to let you guys know, if you have grandchildren that don't have a home church, or neighbors, we would love to have them. And we think it is so important in this day and this world that you guys are strong. Can I see your muscles? We want you to be strong, and we want you to be ready for this world, and we know that being in God's word will help you do that. So we invite all of you to join us. You might have noticed in the bulletin something interesting. It said the adult class and the kids class all meet in here, and that's unusual. We don't usually do it that way, but we're going to start in here on 9:30 all together with a prayer, a family Bible verse, and then we'll disperse into our different groups, adults, studies, kids studies, and we're going to have so much fun. So we would just love to have you guys 5 weeks starting September 12th. And now, for those of you that would like to go to Little Worship, you can meet over here at the cross. Miss Maria is down there, and we would love to have you.
All right. Yep, if it's okay with your parents, go meet at the cross, and Maria will take you away. And the rest of us, let's open up God's word right here. The text for today is on the previous page. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Now, Israel, hear the decrees and the laws that I am about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving you. Do not add to what I command you, and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. I know that I've said it before, but I've served as 9 years in the United States Army Reserves as a clerk, which was hilarious because clerks are supposed to be the ones that are organized and, you know, can really type, and I'm terrible at all those things. The thing is, though, is what I really was good at was knowing the regulations. Because my commander, he had work that I needed to get done. He had ideas of what he wanted to accomplish in our unit, and my job was to know the regulations well enough to get that work done. And so the way I looked at the regulations were the tools that I needed to do to make things happen. And the better I knew those regulations, the better I was able to make things happen, the more benefits I could bring to our unit, the more I could get it done. Now, here's the thing. I think that in a lot of cases, we have that kind of logic and thinking. You know, I mean, when we talk about tax law, you know, all of us, who wants to pay more taxes? Anybody? Nobody, right? And so what we do is we know people who know tax law so that they can help us to pay as little taxes as possible. And that's what they do. And so we are very used to this idea of having this written code that then we will subject to our will and try to get done what we want to get done. Everybody understands the concept? Now we have the Bible. Is the Bible this kind of writing? The kind of writing that we get to know so that we can manipulate it and make it and turn it around and make it serve us? No, absolutely not. So here's the question, is why? What is so different about this book? Why is this book so different than all the other laws and codes and regulations that we have learned? And it begins in the very, very beginning. I love the way John begins his gospel. John was John's gospel was a work of an old man, the work of a pastor who'd been serving his church, serving his, you know, the church of God, not just a single congregation, but many congregations as he led the church of Christ. He was the only apostle to die a natural death. He lived to be almost 100 years old. It was an amazing thing because he was that constant wisdom that kind of helped stabilize the church of God in its formation. And John began his gospel with this amazingly complex but very wonderful words of, in the beginning was the Word. And to understand what that means is that John is actually beginning, all the other gospels began their story of Christ with the birth of Christ. John began his gospel at creation. He said, guys, before anything else was, before anything existed, in the very, very, very beginning, what was there? God's word. And how powerful is that word? How did God create the world in the beginning? He spoke it into being. He made it happen by speaking. It was through that word that God created everything. His word is not just a description of what is. His word creates. His word brings things into being. It's a really, really important distinction. Because my words do not change anything. If I said my car is red, it doesn't make my white car red. It doesn't redefine the color. It doesn't do anything. My words can either be true or false. My words only can describe. But God's words are very different than ours. And so God gave us his word, and he revealed to us his word, and eventually it was written down in Holy Scripture, and it was from God. It was not something that the people who were writing it down made it up. It wasn't that it came from their logic, their wisdom, their understanding, but it says that the men of God wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit carried them along and helped them to know exactly what it was that God wanted written down. Fascinating, because, you know, I mean, that their personality, you know, I mean, John's writings were very, very different from Matthew's writings. John was an old man and had really thought things through and was almost poetic and so wise in how he put things. And Matthew was a Jew writing to other, you know, his own people. And so he wrote in a very specific way. Luke was a Christian Jew, but he wrote to the Roman worlds. And so he wrote in a very Greek method, a much more chronological and orderly. Every single writer wrote in a way that revealed themselves, but every single writer wrote the words that God gave them. And so today what we have is God's word revealed to us. The very word of God, that same word of God by which the world was created, we now have in written form as a way of revealing who God is, what God has done, what God loves, what God hates, and what God has done for us and to make it possible for us to be his people and to live with him forever. I mean, understand what an incredible thing it is that we have this word of God. And God tells us very carefully, he says very clearly, this is what I want you to do with this word. I want you to know it. I want you to study it. I want you to know what is in it. But it's not the way I used to treat military regulations, so that I can use those regulations to get done what I want done. It's so that I can know and be defined by those scriptures. It's funny, because in the text for today, we hear it says, do not add what I command to you and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands that the Lord your God gave you. Here's what he's saying. Is he's saying this: as you are digging through God's word, as you are absorbing this, as you are listening to what God has to say to you, do not set yourself over and against God's word to try to subject it to your philosophies, theories, or understandings. Because what that would be doing is putting yourself above and against God. You understand that? It's like this. You ever hear of Zeitgeist? It's a wonderful German word. I just love it. It basically means spirit of the day. It's the reigning thoughts, the basic understanding, the philosophy of today. And there was a time, early 1900s, where we talked about the zeitgeist, the spirit of the day was modernism. And the basic tenet of modernism is a acquiescence to science and advancement. And the understanding was, the thought of the day was, that through scientific advancement, the world could be saved. We could overcome things like world hunger, like cruelty, like bad government, like all the disasters of the world, that if we can only understand all these things, we can stop suffering, and we can basically save the world through technology. How's that worked for us? Anybody? The thing is that previously, wars had been very small. Been a couple of nations at war at a time. They were regional, they were small, and, you know, people died, but not in such ghastly numbers. But then what happened? We had World War I, where we took all our technology and used it so effectively to kill. And then right after World War I, we had World War II, where we took even better technology and killed even more effectively. And all of a sudden, people looked at the technology, all the things that they had made, and they realized, is there any salvation in this stuff? Why? What's the real problem? Yeah, it's sin and it's people. We are so sinful that you give us more power, you give us more strength, you give us that technology, and what are we most likely to do with it? Hurt people. We're more likely to hurt people than we are to, I mean, as a lot of good things come from technology. I mean, are we living better today because of technology? Are we living healthier? Are we living longer? Are we living better? Are we able to feed more people? And you know, yeah, there's a lot of benefits from it. But technology itself is not going to save us. Technology, according to God's word, knowledge, wisdom, that the beginning of knowledge and wisdom is the acknowledgement of God. That God is God and we are not. That his ways are better than our ways. And to know what those ways are so that we can identify them, so that we can recognize them, so that we can know what is right and what is wrong, so that we can live according to him. And guys, there's a reason that God gave us this word. You know, he didn't just give us this word so that we would know what is right and wrong. He gave us this word so that we would know him. 2 Peter 1:21 says, "Prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but holy men of God spoke from God as they were carried by the Holy Spirit." And they said that, it says in Colossians 2:8, it says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophies." There's a lot of philosophies out there today that are against God's word, that are not acceptable to him. And as I was preparing this sermon, I was, you know, surfing around the internet. What I'm amazed at is how people are taking God's word and mushing it and changing it and redefining terms in it so that they can continue to believe the philosophies that they want to bring. What today's text tells us is this: we are not to add or subtract from God's word, because God's word is that perfect revelation of him and his will for us. Instead, guess who is supposed to be changed? Us. God's word properly used does not change it. We are the ones who are changed. God adds and subtracts from us, not the other way around. And so as we dig into this word of God, what do we find that God has done? Does he provide for all of our needs? Does he love us and care for us? I mean, the meaning of the first article, which we recite in here, you know, fairly frequently, God gives us everything we need for our bodies and souls. Everything. And when we have a question, who do we turn to? We turn to Him and His Word to know what the truth is. When we want to know the purpose for our lives and how it is we are to live, who do we turn to? We turn to God and His Holy Word. When we want to know how we are supposed to be treating each other, other people, we turn to God and His Word. When we want to know how God feels about the individuals in our society, what their identity is, we don't turn to human philosophy, we turn to God's Word. And this is really important because there are people out there who have a very bad misunderstanding of who they are. They'll say something like, my identity is, and what's their identity? Some philosophy, right? It's like, I am a black person. I am a white person. I am a heterosexual. I am a homosexual. I am a, what? I'm an old person. I am a young person. I am a, everybody, the problem is this, is that are they all those things? Sure. But is that their identity? And how do we know what their identity is? We look to God's Word. And God's Word defines us. God's Word tells us, God, you are created by me. You are purchased by Christ on the cross. That the blood of sin was shed, or the blood of Christ was shed for you to cover your sin. That you have been redeemed, that you are loved, that you are precious in God's sight, and that those who have faith in all of that that God has done for us will spend eternity with Him in heaven. And the people who don't believe yet are people that God earnestly seeks, that He loves them without measure. And this is such an important thing because we're so tempted to believe that people are who they say they are. And the people will tell us that they stand against us. People will tell us that we are wrong and thus their enemies. People will tell us that we are, that they oppose everything that we stand for. And that might also be true, but here's the thing. Does that make them our enemy? God says no. God says their identity is that they have been created in His image, that He loves them, that He seeks them, and that He wants us to love them, especially love them, by sharing that message of salvation with them. Their identity doesn't change. And it's essential that we understand this for another reason too, and that's this, is that we live in a world where we sin, we blow it, we don't live the way we're supposed to, we don't love the way God wants us to, we fall short of this, and the devil loves to mess with our identity too. The way it works is this. The devil says, come on, sin. It's so much fun. It'll be great. It'll give you everything that you're looking for. You'll be happy if only you do. And as soon as you step into sin, the devil turns around and goes, how dare you? I can't believe you did that. After God did all this for you, after God loved you, after God adopted you to His family, I can't believe you did that. How could God love you anymore? Now you belong to me. And that message, it sounds like who would believe such a thing, right? Except that that message is very deceptive. And that message does get in. Our guilt is real, our sin is real, and our sin is awful, and our sin hurts people, it hurts us, it hurts God, it hurts our brothers and sisters. It's a really terrible thing, and it is so easy to believe the words of Satan when he says, God could not love you, you belong to me. But is the devil the one that defines us? Does the devil speak truth? The father of lies, he's called. Where is truth? It's found in Scripture. What is the truth that we proclaim? It is the gospel. It is the gospel that proclaims that Jesus died on the cross for all sin, even that sin that you just committed, that sin that has hurt people, that sin that is tearing up your life, that sin that is weighing on your conscience, that sin is also covered. And God wants that sin forgiven as well. And we trust the promise that God gave us in baptism, that baptism now saves us. That when God said yes to us in baptism, it wasn't a conditional yes, but it was a yes that's open completely. And it says, I will always receive you. I will always accept you. I will always love you. I will always take you back. Bring your sin to me. Let me carry that. You can't. You're not big enough. And we trust the God who sacrificed for us. My friends, last week our sermon text was, choose you this day, who will you serve? And I ask you, would you serve human wisdom that changes constantly with the experience of people? People who are just trying to figure things out as they walk around in the dark because they don't have the light. Or will we listen to the one who is the light of the world? The one who has revealed himself, the one who has sacrificed himself, the one who loves you and who wants us to share that love with our neighbors. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for making us your children. Thank you for revealing yourself to us. Thank you that we know you and that we can know you better, Lord, as we study Scripture and with the work of your Spirit working in us, helping us to understand and deeply drink from this life-giving work, Lord, that you would continue to just show us better every day how much you love us, all that you have done for us, and that we would be able to love and trust you and give ourselves freely to you so that your work may continue to be done in this world. Thank you, Lord, that you are our God, that you are greater than our sin. Thank you, Lord. In your holy name we pray. Amen. My friends, let us continue our worship by singing. And we remember where we came from and the one to whom we are going to return.
Yeah.
My friends, let us continue our worship service by confessing the faith that our God has revealed to us through his Holy Scripture in the Apostles' Creed. Please stand as we confess. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Next. Wow, it's been a long time since we've done this last, but we at St. Mark's, we have a tradition of every fifth Sunday, we will have prayer and care, which basically means if you guys are having troubles, or if you guys are having things that you're just so pleased at and rejoicing at life, and you want to have somebody to pray with you, we have opportunities during this service to do so. And so I'm going to ask those who are identified to pray this morning to come forward at this time. And the rest of you, as we sing the songs that are following, two things I ask. First, I ask that you would be in prayer for the people who are coming forward and in prayer for the ministry of St. Mark's in general. But also that you would consider that if you have anything that you would like to bring before the Lord in an intimate way like this, that you would do so at this time. Just come forward whenever the people up front is open, and you can tell us what is on your mind, and then we will pray with you. Also, if anybody is a little concerned with coming to the front of the church, Kevin and Lynn Shagg are going to be in the prayer chapel, and they'll also be available to pray during this time.
Stronger than darkness, new every morn, our sins.
Dear friends, if there's anybody else who would like, thank you so much, folks, for coming up. If anybody else would care to have individual prayer and we're just a little too nervous to come forward, we will have an elder in the prayer chapel after the service as well, as we do every Sunday, to pray with people. As we head into the prayer time of the general prayer time, I want to bring special attention to two things. First of all, Stu Brassi, who passed away this past week, and it's been tough on all of us. He was a major part of our congregation, taught, preached, just was such a support for so many people, and so that's, you know, all of us are hurting a bit. At the end of the service, I'll be reading a letter from Alice regarding their family. And we also want to be keeping in our prayers Todd Folsom, who is continuing to struggle with the effects of COVID. And his condition isn't real good. We really want to be holding up him and his family in our prayers. This is a tough time for them. So please stand, and let's go before our Father in heaven. Lord, we thank you that we are your children. We thank you that you are with us. We thank you that the fact is that we are on your mind, and that you have you have us in your thoughts, and you are working out, Lord, our lives. But Lord, we also know that there are some really difficult times, the times when we're left hurting, and times when amazing, wonderful gifts that you have given us that we have grown to love and depend on are taken. And Lord, we this is the case with Stu. I pray that you would continue to be with all of us, Lord, as we hurt, and just to look to you for your mercy, Lord, to remember that he is with you in heaven, that he is getting everything, Lord, that he deserves because you died for him. Because he has your righteousness, because he was baptized into your family. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with Alice and the kids, Lord, as they grieve, that you would give us opportunities to love them. And Lord, we pray for Todd as he is so sick, and we pray that you would continue to be with him. Send your spirit, work on him, Lord. Help him to recover and to become healthy again, Lord, so that he can return to the task of being a husband and a father, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would be with his family, that you would continue to give them strength, that you would hold them up, that you would be their rock, Lord, the one that you can, that they can cling to during these crazy days, and give us opportunities, Lord, to share your peace with them and to love them, Lord, and to be your hands and feet, Lord, in this world. Lord, we pray for those who are about to be affected by that hurricane. We pray for those in Haiti who have been affected by that earthquake. We pray for those, our brothers and sisters in Afghanistan who are suffering because of bad government, Lord. We pray for those who are trying to escape, that they would be able to, Lord. We pray that you'd be with those whose family, the soldiers and the families, Lord, who are injured. We pray that you would just continue to be the God who gives peace in all circumstances. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being good, Lord, and for helping us to be able to see that because of the work of your Spirit and the promises of your Word. And Lord, when we don't know how to pray because we're hurting so bad, Lord, help us to remember the prayer that you taught us, the prayer that we can pray now. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant of my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." Dear friends, do you feel you still taste the forgiveness of sins? You know, God knows that we have a hard time somehow receiving forgiveness. Our guilt is so strong, and sometimes it becomes false guilt because Jesus has already paid for that sin. It is gone as far as the east is from the west, but somehow we try to keep carrying it with us. And we've already received the forgiveness of sin multiple times in this service. At the very beginning, we remembered our baptism where we received new life, and then we had the sermon, and then we had the Lord's Prayer, and then we had the creed, and over and over, God is proclaiming his forgiveness for us, but he knows that we are slow, and so he's giving it to us in yet another way through this meal. And the promise of God is forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation in this meal. And so as God's promise is certain, his word is true, depart in his peace and in his joy. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing as you go your way. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand up as we sing the final song of praise.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Please be seated. Alice Brassey has asked that I would read this letter to you. I'll just let her speak for herself. She says, "You need to hear from me, and I need to reach out to all of you. You have been standing by me and my family constantly once you knew that Stu and I had contracted COVID. You texted, called, sent letters of encouragement, brought us food, prayed for us, and now you all need to understand how much peace God is giving us through all of this. We always knew that since COVID began in our country that we could be affected, and we always knew that we were in God's hands right where we wanted to be. We took precautions along the way, as all of you did, but we decided early on that we would continue to live our lives. We have had numerous times over the last year and a half where we had been exposed by people we had been spending close time with family. One day, in one case, 3 full days during Thanksgiving, God chose to let us have those amazing family times and did not contract the virus then. 2 of our local children did, and one of their spouses. As a result, those 3 were able to be there with us while we were sick, helping us through our bout with the virus. What a blessing. Back in November, God still had a plan for Stu's life here on earth. We surely have been exposed many times since last fall, along with our family members, as you possibly have been also, without incident. Before we started symptoms, some sweet neighbors learned that we had been exposed right before they had close contact with me. We beefed up our immunity protocols, trusted in the Lord to get us through, and God's perfect plan was to bring me through and to use this to bring Stu to heaven with him. How beautiful that Stu's last Bible study class preparations involved a study of heaven and our life with the Lord once he creates the new earth for us following the final judgment. This research brought him into a beautiful frame of mind as he prepared that for all us and surely strengthened his faith and gave him a renewed enthusiasm for what lies before us in heaven. Every time Pastor Bob asked him to conduct worship or Lauren asked him to do a Bible study series, he was completely excited and invigorated. He would very soon have a topic in mind, and once he had that, he would say something like, "Okay, I'm going to go get started working on this," and he disappeared into his study. He thrived on his biblical research. He wanted to give you all his very best scholarship and research. He wanted to draw you into the meat God has for us in his word and be able to present you in his live action way, his very best teaching of the word. Within a few days, he would come to me with his 6 to 8 pages of handwritten yellow legal pad pages for me to type. I was always benefited by being involved in the process, checking scripture passages to make sure the ones he had wrote down were the ones he wanted, checking spelling and all those other word processing needs because he always wanted you to have a handout to take home and to keep. And so we were double blessed by the opportunities Pastor Bob and Lauren gave him. Perhaps many of you are aware that Stu had only one fear in life, living out his old age in a nursing home. He watched that happen to his parents, and he now and then mentioned in passing that he never wanted to live like that. We all knew, as Amy reassured him, that she would not let that happen to him, and she and Jay would take him into their homes to live out his life. The other kids would have done the same. That gave him a great deal of comfort. Then our friend Wayne, who traveled thousands of miles with him for Missouri District churches over 20 years, told him days ago that he had his second fear, and that was to live with Alzheimer's as his father did with his last years. God was putting all this knowledge of Stu into Stu's heart, into his perfect plan for Stu. In July, Stu and I were getting ready to walk at the Y. We usually walked about 5 miles, and he would use some of the workout equipment. Before we left, we got a big drink of water and took a few vitamins, and he looked at me and he said nonchalantly, "You know, Ali, if you want to live to be 90, that's fine. You go right ahead, but you just need to know that that's not my goal." I thought a minute and said, "Okay, do you have a goal?" "No," he says, "I just don't desire to live to be an old guy." Another little seed of information was that I was glad I was given. We sat on the couch together during the early weeks of COVID, and one day I said, "Stu, so if one of us or both of us doesn't make it through this, no regrets, right?" He looked me in the eye, shook his head, and said, "No regrets." I said, "That's good. That's just how I feel about our lives too. Totally blessed." This is all a part of why we have a perfect peace about God's plans for Stu's life. Every step of the way, through our illness, we felt God guiding us, helping him to be comfortable while he was at home, knowing the perfect time to get him medical help when breathing suddenly became difficult. As you probably know, the Lord has used a blood clot in his lung to take him quickly to heaven. Missouri Baptist ICU allowed all four of us to be with him during the entire 24 hours or so that he was there. They did everything to try to turn it around for him, but that was not in God's perfect plan. So rejoice with him, rejoice with us over his quick entry into heaven with his Savior. And remember, God has the perfect plan for your life and the entry into heaven also at just the right time and in just the right way. I will see you all soon once I have regained some strength from my mild pneumonia. God is healing me each day. I hope this allows you all the peace of the Lord, which my family and I have. My love to each of you, Alice. I really don't know what I could say to follow that up. So God's blessings on your week, and I'll see you in the back.